You are now listening to the Walking Leader podcast, episode number 228.
Hello, everyone. I'm your host, David Guerra, author of The Walking Leader, and I welcome you to episode 228 of The Walking Leader podcast. I created this podcast with the understanding and intent that it was to be used as an audio tool for you, current and future leaders, to sharpen your skills and hone your craft. So now, without any further delay, let's get this episode started. In this episode, we are talking about self-leadership and influence. So before we dive into the deep end, let's break it all down. The definition of self-leadership is based on taking the initiative and being proactive. Being a self-leader means that you are intentionally influencing your thinking, your feelings, your actions towards your achievement of your objectives and goals. Whether those objectives or goals are personal or professional, both, you must take that first step, second, and third step to achieving those objectives or goals. And for today's episode, let's use the Merriam-Webster dictionary to define influence. Influence is the power to change or affect someone or something, the power to cause changes without directly forcing them to happen. See, as a self-leader, as being a self-leader, it's all-encompassing. Influencing yourself must happen long before you can start to influence others. That influence you exert on yourself to achieve your goals and or your objectives must always take precedence. That is because those you want to influence to achieve a common goal or objective will be quick to pick up on whether you believe in what you're attempting to make happen or not. For example, you've been assigned a task or a mission to complete, but you cannot wrap yourself around it 100%. Guess what? You cannot fake it. People will pick up on it, especially those that do not believe in the mission, the task, or the assignment itself. They're going to be out there, and it's your job to, well, first of all, understand it. So they pick up on it faster because they are in tune with the vibe you are projecting. Positive or negative people will pick up on it and tune in to you real fast. They'll tune in real fast. So if you're believing it, you're behind it 100%, they're going to pick up on that and they're going to tune into it. And the same thing with the negative. They're just going to pick up on it. So therefore, when it comes to influencing the actions of others, either be 100% on board or do not attempt to do so until you are 100% on board. See, there's no fake it till you make it when it comes to influencing as a leader. Now, over the past several years, influence and influencing others has taken on a new yet misguided term, influencer. Now, this influencer term has become quite synonymous with those individuals on the internet that are peddling skincare products, cosmetics, clothing lines, or some fad health diet. Yeah, see, they're at that point, their only motivation strictly is the financial backing of the people that are paying for these, quote, influencers, unquote, to deliver their message. And these individuals, they come in all shapes and sizes, but in the end, they are not leaders. They're not leaders. They're not leaders capable of motivating others to complete a goal, a mission, a task, or an assignment without the money factor involved. So that they're not leaders. They're just shoe salesmen. And like, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with being a shoe salesman, but shoe salesmen will tell you they're selling shoes. Car salesmen will tell you they're selling cars. There's nothing behind it. Nothing misguided behind it. No misinterpretation, no misunderstanding. They're telling you what they're doing. So, as I mentioned, there's nothing wrong with making money. The issue here is that there is so much given to these individuals who have become quote-unquote influencers, all because they are related to someone famous or notorious, or they accidentally leaked an inappropriate video, or married the wrong person, or fawned over a different celebrity to the point that others jumped on board that bandwagon. Now, whatever the reason, sure, some have gone on to create something tangible and worthwhile, while most others, and I do say most, the majority others were kind of a one and done. And they're here one day, they're gone the next, and then it's like, why does this name sound familiar? Because once upon a time. Now, as a leader, you cannot afford to be a one and done. You have people that want you as their leader, just like you want to follow other leaders, and of course, you want to create new leaders. Each one of those positions in life require one thing. the proper execution of influence over others. It's just that simple. Now, be careful, though, because it is that simple. Because here's where things can get tricky. Some individuals stop when they are given a title of a manager. They stop leading themselves and start becoming adept at managing people either through intimidation or by the book. And they do so as a collective. They manage people as a collective. The wise individuals know that they can never stop leading themselves, especially when put in a position of management. Now, notice, I did not say a position of leadership. I said a position of management. A position of leadership, while may sound cool on paper, is usually a setup for failure, especially by those that have never been taught how to be leaders or had very bad managers in their past to kind of guide them down that dark side. Now, these managers realize that they were not truly ready to be a manager of people and begin that slippery slope down the path of instilling fear and intimidation of those they are responsible for. It's a place, I'll refer to as bad manager hell. However, all is not lost. All is not lost. As I mentioned, current and future leaders on their path to self-leadership greatness know they can never stop learning to be better than they were yesterday. They also know that the title of, quote, leader, unquote, is earned and never just given. It is because of that fact I always stand by the following statement. You've heard me say it before. I'll say it again. And those that know me, I say it ad nauseum because I believe in it so much. Here it is. Anyone can be a manager and anyone can be a leader. However, while leaders may be managers, not all managers can be leaders. Sad but true. Not all managers can be leader. Thus, another consideration when it comes to influencing is to consider how it is delivered. How is that influence delivered? For example, General George Patton, United States Army, World War II general, one of the greatest military tacticians, strategists ever. He once said, never tell people how to do things. Tell them what to do, and they will surprise you with their ingenuity. Now, mind you, he said this during combat, and it's attributed to something while World War II was underway. And so things were a little different. However, it's a great statement delivered to all leaders at all levels. Every leader should know this. Never tell people how to do things. Tell them what to do, and they will surprise you with their ingenuity. See, it's fine when it comes up to situations that are, that will not end up costing the organization valuable time, money, or resources. But most importantly, when such as in combat, it may cost lives. So be sure to include some parameters when you tell them what to do. Not how to do it, but what to do. Include some parameters such as the statement of, within reason, ensuring safety and the prudent use of the people, time, and resources. And you kind of box it in a little bit, but again, you leave it up to them, but to take those things into consideration. Most of all, the safety and the prudent use of people. You want to ensure that the people's time is not being wasted and that the organization's resources are not being wasted along with that. Because if the resources are being wasted, you can pretty damn well be certain that time is being wasted. And people and their energy and their abilities are being wasted. And we don't want to do that. So how do you influence? Well, there are countless strategies and ways to influence others. For example, there are those appeals to authority or the hasty generalization or jumping on the bandwagon, as I mentioned earlier, of which these are just three of the 15 known fallacies of logic. Yeah, that's a fallacy. And that's a strategy people use. You see that all the time in television commercials. You see it at the grocery store. The biggest fallacy is in the dairy section. Why are there eggs in the dairy section? Eggs are not dairy. Dairy is milk, cow product. Okay, there we go. Cheese, cottage cheese, yogurt. Okay, you get it. But there's eggs. All right. So again, there's a fallacy. But again, there it is. That's the fallacies of logic, and for some reason people latch onto that. So be careful when you go down that path. The outcomes might not be what you expect. See, another example might just involve laying all your cards on the table. That's a great influence. That's a great, because again, you're leaving everything on there. No stone unturned. Everything's out there. And while this may seem most effective, it can also be one that may yield the best results, in that while executing the plan or the task, there is little doubt or question on why this is happening and why it is important to get things done. A great leader will know which one to employ. And of course, so you got to be careful. So it's all depending on the situation. And while there may be times that you may be tempted to deliver the good old because I said so response, that's the wrong answer. See, when it comes to questioning your motives or intentions, you can use it very, very sparingly, almost to the point of never using it at all. But at some point, you know, it's going to happen. You're going to say it, but you're going to wish you could retract it the moment you see the words coming out of your mouth. You're going to want to retract it, but it's out there. And in some cases, good. It's out of your system. You'll never use it again. That was my case. I did use it one time because I signed the check. That's why. And I actually said that. And guess what? I never said it again to anybody because there was no need, because it was out of my system. But it had to make a point. I had to make a point. And that's why it got done. So with self-leadership, you must know to the extent you can and cannot trust yourself as well. See, because when it comes to influencing others, it all begins and ends with trust. It really, truly does. It may be difficult, but in the end, only you know yourself the best. Now, I'm going to digress here a little bit. Do not let anyone tell you otherwise. Know this. Know the following. If there are individuals that believe they know you better than you know yourself, well, those are the bad manager types. And I say this because those bad managers are also micromanagers. They believe they know more than you, and therefore, they know you better than you know yourself. Yeah. So to be careful, because again, you're the subject matter expert. You're brought in to do a job. You're brought in to do something. And because a micromanager comes in believing that they know better than you do, therefore they know more, they believe they know you better than you know yourself, it questions everything. And those are bad managers. So watch out for them. And now, again, taking a little deeper dive, a little darker dive, but again, something to think about. In our personal life, we may see this in family members, longtime family friends, and family of our close friends, and that they know us better than we know ourselves. And by family members, I mean those individuals that are not immediate family members, not like your brother, your mother, your dad, no, none of that, your sister, no. But I'm talking like aunts, uncles, cousins, great uncles, great, you know, yeah. Oh, and let's definitely not leave out those nosy neighbors. They love that. They're notorious for that. They may have a vague idea about how you were raised. And because of that place in life that they hold, they assume they know better than you know yourself. They know you better than you know yourself. Now, let's wrangle this all back in. Well, it's not an open invitation to be rude, but sometimes people just need to be reminded who they are, what they are to you, and where you keep them in your life. So be tactful and gently remind them of that fact. Of course, if they get offended that you call them out on their nonsense, then you are confirming what they already know, and that is, your life is none of their business. Remember that. Your life is none of their business, just like their life is none of your business. Don't forget that. Now, let's get back on track. Back on the track to the subject at hand. How to influence and influencing others. As a key component towards leading, influencing others has a certain set of rules that should be applied at all times to ensure that you are ready to lead others, but that you are also fully capable of leading yourself. See, when it comes to the subject of how to influence yourself and others, well, be genuine. Be authentic. Do not pull any punches. Have a complete understanding and acceptance of what it is you're trying to accomplish and its expected outcome. Get that under control. Know that. Be prepared to either ask questions or answer questions on the task, on the assignment, on the what needs to be accomplished, and answer those questions. And if you don't know the answer, find someone who does. There's nothing wrong with that. People will believe you. People will follow you because sometimes you don't have to be all-knowing. You don't have to be the micromanager. You just know that there's a task that needs to get done. follow up with others to ensure that the message is understood and that the actions taking place are in line towards delivering the expected outcome. Lastly, the buy-in. The moment you buy into the mission, the task, or the duty assigned, it is the same moment that others will see you get it, and based on your attitudes towards the assignment, others will buy in as well, especially those that are following you, those that look to you. They're going to see you bought into it. Why am I going to fight it? However, sometimes there are duties that no one likes performing, but they must get done. In this case, and I'm going to go back to my time in the military, my old squad leader used to say, we don't have to like having to do it, but it must get done. So let's get it done and over with. Great. Yeah, we all don't have to like it. And there was Staff Sergeant Ronnie Williams right there in the thick of it with us. That's right. My squad leader did not have to get into the trenches, but there he was, filling sandbags, digging foxholes, and everything else that no one liked doing, but it had to get done. Staff Sergeant Williams was the first true leader I saw firsthand that remembered where he came from and that while he no longer had to get back into trenches, he was not afraid to get his hands dirty. Of course, when it came time to do squad leader stuff, he was doing that too. He was one of the greatest leaders I had ever met in that he gained our trust by communicating through monologue and dialogue. He kept our trust because he was not afraid to walk his talk. When it came to criticism that others gave him, he kindly, but swiftly, and not so gently, and of course without pulling punches, reminded them that he got to where he was based on his attitude, his knowledge, his experience, his skills, and not because he was worried about what others thought of him and how he applied his leadership skills. Staff Sergeant Ronnie Williams made sure people saw results delivered in the form of successful missions accomplished. And the people that were part of accomplishing the missions, he made sure they got the credit. Since I had the honor of being led by Staff Sergeant Williams, I have always hoped and wished that my leadership abilities emulated, but not exactly duplicated, his unique style of leading. See, and this applies to everybody. Trust, communicate, monologue, dialogue, explain, dictate, cooperate, solicit feedback, ask questions, and understand are the key words to take away from self-leadership and influence from this episode, everything I talk about. Trust, communicate, monologue, dialogue, explain, dictate, cooperate, solicit feedback, ask questions, and understand is how you become an influencer of your own life and of the successful life of those that call you a leader. See, when it comes to self-leadership and influence, always remember, and hey, never forget, while you might be able to master the art of influencing and influence, however, in order to remain proficient in that art, you must also remember that the process is always continuing, never stopping. It never ends, and it may last a lifetime. However, it's so very worth it. Now, on the other side of that coin, it's easy to get lost in the power and forget why influence is an important skill. Those that choose the easy path of exercising or flexing the power of authority granted to them and not the unique opportunity to actually connect with the people they're supposed to be looking out for, the people they're supposed to make into new leaders, into future influencers, well, that's on them, and that's how they lose that title of leader. That's how people will stop going to them. That's how people will go and find themselves a new leader, someone who does not take them for granted, someone who is not afraid to do something other than flexing their power of authority, someone who can work with people, and someone who understands that people are unique. There's not a cookie-cutter approach, doesn't clump everybody together like bad managers do, no, but understands that while the mission is global, the individuals are just that, individuals. But together, they all have to work towards achieving that common goal. So folks, it's a difficult task, but influencing is not easy. And it begins with you, and it always begins with you, and it'll always stay with you, and you need to continue growing and working on that process of influencing yourself, and then people will pick up on it. And as I mentioned, no matter what you do, it's a never-ending cycle, it's continuing to learn, but it's so very worth it. We've reached the end of this episode, and as always, I ask for your feedback on this episode and any past episode. Let me know what you think. Let me know if I nailed it or didn't or missed a mark. I need to know this. I'm asking for your feedback. So, of course, and if you have any comments, questions, by all means, also email me, dave@daveguerra.com, or tweet me on Twitter, @DaveGuerra. Message me. Let me know you're out there. Or, of course, you can leave me a voicemail at the Walking Leader hotline at 956-720-0060. That's 956-720-0060. Just leave a message. And as always, folks, you've been listening to the Walking Leader podcast with me, David Guerra, United States Army veteran and author of The Walking Leader. I invite you to come back soon as we continue taking the steps on our Walking Leader journey to becoming great followers and even better leaders. And I want to remind you, we must always go beyond the grind and go beyond the hustle, because today and every day, that is the only way to be the walking leader and a leader that is truly great to follow.
The Walking Leader Podcast is a David Guerra presentation.